It's coming. The eclipse of 4/8/24 is Monday. Does that news create an excitement for you? Are you in the path of totality? Are you heading toward the path of totality? Millions evidently are. I want to hear from you today because there are people listening right now who heard about the eclipse and they yawned. I want you to tell me why you are excited about this celestial occurrence. Here's the number, 877-548-3675. Why is the eclipse a big deal to you? What are you going to do? You going to drive? You going to get in the car? You going to fly somewhere? 877-548-3675. Welcome to our continuing conversation at the Radio Backyard Fence. We call Chris Fabry Live online at chrisfabrylive.org. Let me thank our team. Ryan, fresh off a momentous birthday. Trish is our producer. Tahir is in the chair. Laurel will be answering your calls. And since it's Friday, the first Friday in April, that's right, it's time for the fabulous Fabry Friday Eclipse Sigh. Here's what it does. One, we oxygenate your blood. Two, we get your endorphins going. Three, we raise your serotonin level. Four, we promote lymphatic drainage. And five, we stimulate your parasympathetic system. That's why we call it the five lung languages. We also stimulate your vagus nerve. We help you release acetylcholine. And don't forget what it does to cortisol dissipation. Take in 4 seconds of air through your nose right now. Hold it 4 seconds. And then as you release that air through your mouth, push on the left side of your rib cage to get rid of all that bad carbon dioxide. Let's give a path of totality sigh for those listening in Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maine, Missouri, New Hampshire, New York, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Vermont. And let's give a big sigh for all those planning to drive or fly to one of those states. All those who make that trip, I say you put the lips in eclipse, so we celebrate you. But not all of us understand why you would do such a thing, and that's okay, too. If you are someone who says, I don't see the big deal, stay with us. There's good things ahead today on Chris Fabry Live. Fabulous Fabry Friday Side, brought to you by the Solar Eclipse, all rights reserved. First response to this was after the program yesterday when I recorded a promo, and I said we were going to be talking about this. A Moody Radio colleague emailed and said, I just wanted you to know, this is in Chicago, I'll be taking my dad's 800 mL lens down to Carbondale, Illinois to film the total eclipse. I missed it in 2017 and told myself I wasn't going to miss the next. And here we are, and I'm ready. I hope none of the false prophets on YouTube are correct with their end times predictions, at least not until I film it at first. So I put that question on Facebook. And I asked, let's talk eclipse. Are you traveling to see it? Tell me why you're interested. And Mark asked the question a couple dozen down. Mark said, I'm asking not to be rude, but because I want an honest answer. What is the fascination with a shadow? That's putting it a little more snarky than I would. What's the fascination with a shadow? I've been through them, and frankly, the best view is obtained through video recording using proper filtering, not in person. So today's program, in a way, is to answer Mark's honest question. Why is this a big deal to some, and why is it not to others? And I wonder if there... I'm not gonna answer that. I'm going to let you... Hell, I need your help today. Just you and me. You and me in the eclipse. You and me in the shadow. You're the sun and the moon, 877-548-3675. Rob is in the path. Hey, Rob in Indianapolis, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. And yourself, Chris?
I'm doing great. Glad to be able to talk with somebody right in the path.
Well, yep, we're not far from it. Indianapolis and lots of the Hoosier State are going to be right in the zone of totality.
And what are you going to do, and why did you call?
Well, when you said what we're going to do, actually what we're going to be doing is celebrating a friend's birthday that day. And the plan is to gather in his backyard, and it's kind of a memorable way to celebrate a birthday.
Excellent. But now the path, the thing is going to happen like at around 2 o'clock Central, 2:15, 2:17, whatever it is. So are you taking the day off from work?
shouldn't be asking me that question, Chris. You'll put me in an uncomfortable position.
I will deny all responsibility. Okay.
All right. I'm going to take a late lunch. And our neighbor's right nearby. And actually, we're going to have some grandkids with us as well. They're just 2 and 4 years old, so this will be their first experience with it.
Yes.
And, you know, these things just don't happen very often here in central Indiana. It's a great state, but, you know, we need a little excitement every now and then.
A lot of people are saying that. It's not just that, though. What? People coming from all over, both sides, you know, of the swath there.
Oh, yeah.
To experience it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but yep. If it were just for the birthday, though, you'd be doing that around dinner time or in the evening. But because of this, you're going to do it in the middle of the day, right?
That's exactly right. Yep. Our friend's wife decided that, since that God was nice enough to allow the eclipse to fall on her husband's birthday, that we might as well use that as a way to celebrate.
Got it. It's a great thing, and I'm glad that you're going to experience that, Rob. God bless you, friend. Thank you for calling in. The very first response here today. Don't you like that? So there is it's not just a celestial experience. You know, this is happening there. It's community. It's people-oriented. It's grandkids. It's intergenerational. Is that a part of this? Because I see a number of people on Facebook responding and saying, this is probably the last time that this will happen in my lifetime. Is there something about our mortality that's in here? Why this is a really big deal to some people, and why isn't it important to other people? You know, who live in the swath and say, I'm not even going outside. there's one person who said she has an eye disorder. It's like, I'm not going to take the chance, you know, to do it incorrectly. So it's all eclipse here on a Friday. Great conversation. It helped me get to know you a little bit better. 877-548-3675. What's going to happen to you? Why is the eclipse important to you? If it is on Monday, are you in the totality? Are you traveling? How far are you going? 877-548-3675. I am here to learn today from you why the eclipse is an important thing. It's coming up on Monday. Our pals in Cleveland are going to do a special at this time on Monday. So you can listen to our program on podcast. But they're going to do, they have guests. They have, you know, they're right in the middle of the path of totality. And I had considered doing something about the eclipse, and I thought, that's important. You know, it's a current event. But it just didn't rise to me to the place where I really wanted to run toward it. And now I'm wondering if I'm missing out, you know, that fear of missing out. So I'm asking you, help me explain why. Gary's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Gary. How you doing today?
Chris, doing well. Thank you for my call. And I just want to, I'm not planning to go this time. We're in Southeast Tennessee, so it'd be quite a drive, but we were in the middle of totality in 17, and we went to a parking lot, had some friends up from Birmingham. It's a good excuse to get together, like your previous caller with the birthday gathering. And it's just, there's no substitute to being there. A little bit like Christianity. People don't look into it with any detail until they're involved. And we're in the parking lot, and somebody said, hey, look at this. And we go over there, and there's this giant maple tree, and thousands of little eclipses on the parking lot where the sun is coming through little holes in the tree.
Yes.
And of course, once I looked into it on the internet, it's a common thing, but I had no idea that you could see that because I just hadn't looked into it because I hadn't been involved. But if you are close enough and the weather's favorable, I strongly encourage you to go.
Okay, so this is the same thing that a listener wrote us on Facebook, and I think She said it's more for our kids because there are things that happen in the atmosphere. Yeah, here it is. We were in 2017. Our young teenager was fascinated at the changes in temperature, pressure, creatures, etc., not just the covering of the sun. We did that in a small state park an hour from home and on the way home from visiting a grandparent. She was saying that the animals react to this in the, you know, the birds do, the people in the nature habitat, or the animals do in the nature habitat, respond to this just like the leaves do. Is that true?
Yes. And once again, having never been involved in the eclipse, hadn't done any digging, but we're sitting there in the parking lot, and when it got approaching totally dark, all the birds in the trees around the parking lot we were in started singing, "What's that?" Well, we go dig into that a little bit and find out, as you said, it's a common thing, but if you're not interested in it, you don't look into it. If you don't look into it, you don't know much about it.
Right. Good. All right. Gary, God bless you, friend. Thank you for the parking lot story, because there it is again. There's relationship here, and there's intergenerational. Tabitha put this on Facebook. We're traveling 5 years to experience it at my, I'm sorry, 5 hours, 5 light years away. We're traveling 5 hours to experience at my parents' house. They aren't as excited as we are. Laugh out loud. But I think they'll be surprised at the changes that the eclipse causes. Probably the last opportunity for them, and could be for us. Why miss a special occurrence that is part of God's plan if you don't have to put much more, if any, effort? And to do it with other people. Okay, I get it. I understand it. Heather is in New Hampshire. Hi, Heather. Thanks for calling. Tell me why you called today.
Okay. Hi, Chris. I hope you can hear me okay, because I pulled over in Vermont. I'm on my way to Vermont right now just to pick up my son. Can you hear me okay?
I hope you weren't. I can. I hope you weren't pulled over by somebody with flashing lights behind you. You'd voluntarily, right?
Yes. I just wanted to be safe while I talk to you. Okay. So this is my take on it. I saw the eclipse in 2017 with my son. We sat out with lawn chairs, had the special glasses all on and all that, and it was fine. It wasn't like a totality like it's going to be this time, but it was pretty close, and we enjoyed it. But this is my take on it. We are to worship the Creator, not what He created. And I'd like to think that if a bulletin was put out saying Jesus is coming and these are the states He's going to come to today, I'd like to think that all these people are going to spend what they're going to spend on coming to an eclipse. I'd like to believe that they would spend all that if there was a bulletin saying Jesus is coming again. And you know what? Nobody knows the time or the place. Maybe while everybody is looking up at the eclipse, Jesus is going to come through the clouds the same way that He ascended. But I just feel like for me, I'm going to be home. I'll probably just, I might go out. I have the glasses. I might not. But for instance, Vermont has over 1,000 homeless people. They have the most homeless people per capita other than California, which is incredible. So Vermont is looking forward to taking in 150,000 tourists for the eclipse, but they can't figure out how to house 1,000 homeless people. So while people are up there looking at the eclipse and enjoying all that, just remember that, yes, it's amazing. God causes these things to happen, but we are to be worshiping and praising the Creator, not what He created.
Yes.
Because that, to me, is like an idol, like anything else that you might worship, whatever that might be. I mean, I think it's a wonderful thing, but I cannot believe they're saying to expect 200,000 people up this way.
You know, it reminds me of all the things, and that could happen. But all the people who Y2K, you remember how the world was going to implode?
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Y2K,
yes.
You know,
I
just wonder. Now, you agree with what Philip said, or the general tenor of what Philip said on Facebook? He says, I live in Ohio. I'm not going to travel. What I see around Ohio is what was spoken of in the scripture bowing down to the sun, moon, and stars that we're instructed not to do. It's almost as if people are expecting something big to happen. National Guard's been called out in some areas. And I went and I looked and said, is that true? And I think, you know, and I saw in Oklahoma, they're kind of on standby. But it's more for the influx of people who are coming in and to be able to help, you know, in case something happens, because there will be, a lot more people there than are normally in Oklahoma,
Right. Absolutely. I just passed on 93, Interstate 93. They now have a flashing signal up there that's saying, expect delays, eclipse, which just blows my mind. And Vermont and New Hampshire are both closing school. And the other thing that's happening is Vermont is actually asking trucks not to come through that day. So all these big 18-wheelers have to reroute their goods, or they've already had to make other accommodations. And I'm thinking, you know, it was bad enough during COVID that all the truckers got shut down. Like, you would wait for hours on the bridge going into Canada. I mean, the truckers would. Regular traffic was able to go through. But I'm just amazed at all this preparation. And again, my thing is, I don't mean to be negative about it. It's just, praise God. I mean, maybe there'll be some people that will come to Jesus because of this.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing that I see. You know? There are some churches around the country that are having... and I'll read a couple of those here in a minute. You know, they're having something special that's going on. To me, that businesses are shutting down or schools are letting out. I think back to when I was a kid, you had 5 feet of snow and was a bus and still. How in the world? Okay, Heather, God bless you, friend. Thank you for calling in. So we're finding out more about the eclipse and how you're responding to it than we are actually about the eclipse. What you're going to do, I want to hear from somebody who's traveling, though, because I got an email from a friend in Chicago, I think, and he told me how many hours he was going to travel to get in. I think it'll be in Illinois as well, but wanted to be in another place. And the hotel rooms there and how much they are, et cetera, et cetera. What about you? Patrick is in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is not in the path, I don't think. Hey, Patrick, go ahead.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
I had to pull over the side of the road. This is probably only the third time in my life I've called into Christian radio, but I knew I had to call because I happen to agree with you and the previous caller. I can certainly understand anybody being, you know, excited about, you know, what's happening with the eclipse coming up. But for me, that excitement pales in a comparison to, you know, just the entire idea of cosmology in general. I mean, you know, the Bible is not a science book, but mainstream science now knows that with the Big Bang and the point of singularity, you know, space, time, energy, and matter was created by God out of nothing. Not to mention that he has structured our universe in such a fashion that it's perfectly orchestrated for life as we know it. There's terms called the anthropic principle, the cosmological constants, and many other things that just speaks volumes to me about the reality of God. It's, you know, it's extra biblical evidence, if you will, that talks about all men really are without excuse, as Romans 1:20 talks about, given the way he has structured, you know, the universe that we live in. So that's the miracle in my mind that we should never stop celebrating. And, you know, it was only several centuries ago that the church didn't even accept a heliocentric version of, you know, of the orchestration, or excuse me, the, moving of the stars, you know, the planets within our solar system. So,
Patrick, it sounds like you studied this at some point. Did you study this in college, or is that your profession now?
No. I studied it after, you know, starting, but really about 25 years ago when I took a class called Issues in Science and Theology, and ended up, my teacher was the professor who wrote the first the first book on the history of the intelligent design movement, going back to its genesis in the late 80s and early 90s. But it's fascinating stuff, obviously, and more and more of it is being proven out by, you know, science, even, you know, secular scientists. And but, you know, it's just that to me is the miracle. I mean, there is so much evidence outside of Scripture, lots of which is confirmed by Scripture, obviously, that, you know, points to the reality of our God. So
best thing about this, Patrick.
Again, I can certainly understand people getting excited about, you know, an eclipse. It's not something that happens every day, but
best thing, Patrick, the best thing is I got you to pull over. That's hard to do.
Well, I was feeling good about the fact that you seem to maybe share our thoughts, because I too have a lot of Christian friends that are orchestrating their day tomorrow to make sure they can see it. But
anyway. No, not tomorrow. Don't get them. It's like telling people that they have to vote on Wednesday.
Right.
You know, it's Monday. So if you're looking for the eclipse, don't look. But I see, I don't like to, and you bring up a really good point. And if I've tipped my hand here about how I really feel about all this, one thing that I have been trying really hard to do is be less judgmental of what other people enjoy. And I never have understood the World Cup. You know, I don't understand. I have friends who, when it comes around for the Super Bowl, they go do something because there's nobody there. You know, they go to an amusement park or whatever. So I think the sporting world is an example of this. It's like, I don't get it. But at the same time, here's Kathleen, who says, my husband is chair of a physics and astronomy department at the local university. We were in the path of totality in 2017. It was cool. And I can imagine that a person like that would see this much differently than some Yahoo like me, who wouldn't be able to find the Big Dipper at all. So Patrick, God bless you. Thank you for pulling over and staying safe. We always recommend that you pull over if you're calling us on your cell. 877-548-3675. But I don't want to take away from people's enjoyment of this, and especially take away from that intergenerational thing that is going on. It seems like it's a relational thing. It's not just up there, we're looking at this. There's a relationship quotient to this that's really kind of invigorating to me. Barbara is in Akron, Ohio, right in the middle of the path. Hi, Barbara.
Hi there. Yes, I am in the middle of the path of totality, and I did get to see part of it in 2017. I kind of disagree with the callers that are saying that we aren't supposed to be praising God for this, or I'm not worshiping the eclipse. I'm praising the God who created the planets and everything that's going to happen, just the same way as I just did, praising him for the beautiful trees that are coming alive in Ohio.
Yes.
I know they're not dead, but to me, it kind of looks like coming alive and having blossoms. It's beauty, and he created it, so I praise him for it. But, yeah, we've got one of the reasons why Cleveland and other cities are closing the schools is because of the eye injury that people can get if they don't have the right glasses and they're out and around looking or playing in the yard and looking up at it. Because this is, when you're in the presence of this happening, you can have irreparable damage to your retina.
Right.
So you've got to be careful about it.
But wouldn't it, we'll get off into the weeds here, Barbara, but I'll say this. But wouldn't it be better to have, if the children are at school, they would be shepherded by people who understand what, you know, they go home and, you know, they're staring up. And I don't know that that would happen either. Yeah, you got to trust families with all of that. But I let me get back to your point. You are praising God, the God who has ordered all of this, who has set it in place. And I totally agree with that. And I can hear your heart coming through. So let me take a quick break. We'll come back with more of your calls. Hey, look at that. All of our lines are going now. It's eclipse time here on a Friday. And the sun just went behind some clouds where I am. And maybe I'm getting this today. It's an early eclipse here in Arizona. I don't know. God bless you, Barbara. Thank you for your call today. And if you're listening to Moody Radio Cleveland, know that they're going to be doing a special hour on this or more coming up on Monday. Get your glasses on and your lawn chair and stay with us. There's more to come right here on Chris Fabry Live and Moody Radio. As far as I can tell, Philip Keller doesn't talk about an eclipse in his classic book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He does say there are four factors in getting sheep to lie down. You know, the verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller says they won't lie down if they're afraid. They won't lie down if there's friction between them and other sheep. If there are flies or parasites, they won't lie down, you know, pests. They won't lie down if they are hungry. So he writes, when we examine each of these four factors that affect sheep so severely, we will understand why the part the owner plays in their management is so tremendously important. It is actually he who makes it possible for them to lie down, to rest, to relax, to be content and quiet and flourishing. A flock that is restless, discontented, always agitated and disturbed never does well. And the same is true of people. Isn't that true? There's so many really good insights in this little book. How about you? Do you need to lie down in green pastures today? Get your glasses before you do on Monday. Let me send you a copy of this book. Call or click through. Give a gift of any size. Be a friend or partner with us at chrisfabrylive.org or call 866-95-FABRY. The book it's a hardbound. It's fully illustrated. Just gorgeous pictures. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. chrisfabrylive.org or 866-953-2279. This is really fun because I'm learning some things about you and hearing your heart about this event on Monday. Kay is in Illinois. Hi, Kay. Why did you call today? Well, I don't hear Kay. Yeah, Ryan's not hearing Kay either. Must be... I'm going to resist the eclipse jokes, you know, the eclipse humor. I'm not going to do that. Let's go to Sharon in Florida. Hi, Sharon. Go right ahead.
Hey, Chris. Yes, we are traveling from down here up to Indianapolis area.
Really? From Loxahatchee?
How far is it?
That's about like 14, 16 hours, something like that?
No, according to Google, it's about 17 hours. We usually go up to see the grandkids and starting in May, but we decided, no, I want to see this eclipse, and they're making a big deal up in that area. So we're going up. We leave tomorrow morning and look forward to, hopefully the traffic's not going to be horrible the whole way up.
Well, I put a sign, you know, Sharon from Loxahatchee, get out of my way, that kind of thing. And I'm sure be like the Red Sea. So what are you driving? And let me guess. Now, you sound like you and your husband are retired. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So you're not in a minivan. You're not in one of those. Unless you have an RV type of thing. My guess is a truck.
No.
There's a truck there's an F-150 that you and your husband are driving. Tell me what it is.
Well, you're close. It's a Toyota Toyota Tundra, but yes, it's a pickup truck.
I call that a win right there. A Tundra F-150. Of course, Ford's going to argue. Could have been a Tacoma, but so you're going to take this 17-hour drive. Are you going to break it up, or are you going to stop in the middle?
We are.
Okay.
We are stopping north of Atlanta and then continuing up Sunday. And the little town of Plainfield right there next to Indianapolis is where we're heading.
This makes me want to fly over to Indiana and just be there to see you, Sharon, and your grandkids.
I'd love to have you. You come on over. We got room for you.
And I'll bring my own glasses when we come. God bless you, friend.
I even have extra glasses. So, yeah.
Sharon going from Loxahatchee all the way up to Plainfield, Indiana. But there it is again. It's not just this thing that's happening up there. They're experiencing it with somebody else. And is that the same thing as the sports analogy, too? Because I read this, I was going to do this program, and maybe we still will, about the start of baseball season. Baseball started last week, if you hadn't heard. And there was in the, I think it was a Washington paper, the Examiner, the Jim Daly, a Focus on the Family, wrote an editorial, a column about the start of baseball and the hope of that. And, you know, you're not supposed to worship baseball, and you're not supposed to worship baseball players, and you're not supposed to worship the sphere that's being thrown or the batted ball or the ivy on, you know, at Wrigley or whatever. But he was saying in that article, he was saying the connection that he had with his, it makes me choke up just to talk about it, the connection that he had with his dad. He did not have much of a relationship with his father. But he had a relationship over baseball because he went to his dad's house. I think it was he and his sister. And they were going to go to a game at Chavez Ravine. And the bus left and they couldn't go. His dad didn't have a whole lot of money. And his dad saw how much it meant to him. And he hailed a taxi. He got a taxi to drive them, which was at the time an exorbitant amount of money. But Jim Daly talks about that experience of sitting there. And I wonder if there's not something about that, that there is this shoulder to shoulder, heads looking up at the same thing that is not a part of what we're talking about here. Kay, let's try Kay again in Illinois. Kay, go ahead.
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me now?
I sure can. So glad.
Oh, right. Yay. Oh, first-time caller. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I love what Barbara said, a previous caller. My husband and myself, we're in the suburbs of Chicago. We are meeting my newly married daughter and her husband, who are coming up from Georgia, and we're meeting in Evansville, Indiana, to praise the Lord.
That's great. Evansville, all the way from what part of Georgia did you say?
They are from the Blairsville area. Okay. They're in the mountains. They're near Young Harris.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, which is kind of the northeastern part of Georgia.
Yeah, from Georgia to Indiana. And you're in Illinois, and they're going to drive further than you are, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you look at the mileage and the hours, I know people have gone that far before. And, of course, different maps and apps will tell you, oh, yeah, 6 hours. No, it's going to probably, we're assuming it might double.
Yes.
And we are just so excited because what better way for us? They're very involved in their church as we are here. We want to proclaim Christ. We want to proclaim God as creator. We're tired of hearing weather people and meteorologists praise Mother Nature. So we're just going to stand there and praise the Lord and just praise his holy name for the wonders that he's given us. And so we'll reflect on when it became dark, those hours when Jesus was on the cross.
Yes. You know, Kay, I love your heart, and there's nothing wrong with meteorologists and others, you know, talking about the what happens in the sky. But it strikes me that you've just done exactly what you're going to do on that day. You know, you've told us what you're doing, and by telling us that you're going to worship him and what he has done and what he has set in motion with the planets and the stars and calling them from nothing, as we had just heard from another caller, you've done that here for us today. So I'm really glad that your phone finally worked.
I'm so grateful. Thank you, Chris.
God bless you, friend, and happy traveling on over the weekend or on Monday. Darcy is in Franklin, Tennessee. Darcy, why did you call today?
Hey, Chris. I listen to you every day getting my kids from school, and I will say I'm a little surprised you're not into this eclipse, honestly. You're sensitive like I am, and so I figured you'd be all into it. But I will say, the sports thing is super on. We went, we're in Nashville. We had Totality in 2017, and we went up to the Sound Stadium. They packed people in there and let us all watch it together. And I think it is something about being with people and experiencing something that only the people, like, if you're not in Totality, I promise you, it is not the same. It's not the same. So it is. It's an interesting experience. And I felt so, like, you just automatically feel like you are tiny and God is big.
That's, you know, now that you mentioned Franklin, Tennessee, I'm thinking of Michael Card, because Michael is, you know, he's got his big telescope and, you know, he's always saying negative things about the light clutter that happens, you know, in these big cities. You can't see the sky.
Oh, yes.
And it strikes me that here is a time when it doesn't matter where you are, big city or not, you're able, unless there are clouds, of course, but you'll be able to see this no matter whether there's clutter, light clutter or not, because it's in the middle of the day. So that's a perk, isn't it?
Yeah, no. And it was interesting. I mean, it got dark and all the, We were in the city, so all the streetlights come on, all the bugs start chirping. It's very interesting. So my mom called me just today and said, I found one hotel room in Paducah. You want to go? So we're heading there. She said I may not be here for the next one, so let's go.
There's a short story, or maybe it's a song. Can we get Stephen Curtis? Or one room in Paducah.
one last room in Paducah.
He is. Yeah, he sure is.
Yes.
We
yes.
get Zach Williams yes. to write that one, sing it with Dolly too.
My son's at college in Waco, and I wanted to try to get there, but the forecast called for clouds, so we'll go to Paducah instead.
Okay, so there's my son's in Waco, and my room's in Paducah. And you say you expected me to be more for this. I don't know. My brothers were very much into these kinds of things, you know, telescopes, and they were shooting rockets off and doing all that kind of stuff. And maybe it's because my mind was not astronomical. You know, it wasn't more toward the mathematical. Every time I played chess with somebody, I thought it was checkers, you know, that type of thing. But now that I'm hearing about the relational aspect of this, I'm getting more sensitized to it. And again, I don't want to take away. Maybe it's that I feel left out, because in my part of the country, you know, I'm a long drive away from Totality. You know, I'm left out. Maybe I need to work on that. I'll work on that in the break. And you hang on. There's more straight ahead on Moody Radio. I agree with Dr. Seuss, a person's a person no matter how small. I believe the issue of life and the unborn is the great human rights struggle of our time. I believe a society is judged by what it allows to happen to its most defenseless. Do you agree? If you do, do you want to do more than just do what I did, and that say it, you know, talk about pro-life passion? CareNet can help. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet button, and you will see ways to turn a conviction in here into action. You can serve women and men at risk for abortion through your church. That's why they've developed their church engagement initiative. What might happen in your church and your community if you established a team who could walk alongside women and men facing pregnancy decisions, first in your congregation and then in the broader community? What if you partnered with that pregnancy center that's in your area and you became a lighthouse for life? Consider that. Good first step. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. So we're talking about the eclipse. It's coming up on Monday, and something else is coming up on Monday, and Dolores from Grand Rapids, Michigan is going to tell us about it. Hi, Dolores.
Hello there, Chris.
Tell me why you called.
Well, it's going to be my 90th birthday on Monday.
Yay!
And I'm also looking forward to seeing the eclipse here if we don't have too many clouds in Grand Rapids.
That's the one thing. The old cloud things, and you can't control that, can you, Dolores?
No, uh-uh.
So tell me what you've learned in 90 years. If you could boil it down to one or two things, what would you say?
That I have a God that's in control and that he loves and cares for me every day.
Amen. And you rest in that. And do you have a favorite portion of scripture? Is there a favorite, like a psalm that you have, or a favorite verse that keeps coming up to you?
Yes, I do. It's Psalm 18, verse 11. You have shown me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
You had that memorized. When did you memorize
that? Oh, a few years ago, someone, I heard a pastor preach on that, and I just committed it. And at the end of every service, during that period when he preached in the Psalms, we would use that verse as a benediction.
Hmm.
And so that's how I learned how to memorize it. But I love to memorize scripture.
Good for you, Dolores. We have this thing called Voices of Wisdom, where we're talking with people who are a little further down the trail, you know, authors and pastors and singers and others, but also just everyday people, you know, that you've never heard their name before. And Dolores, you've become a voice of wisdom for us. And my guess is that in that trail that you have walked, there have been some hard times. There have been some times of struggle and loss and real big questions that you've had, right?
Very much so. I've lost a husband after 53 years of marriage who loved the Lord, and a son at 61 3 years ago of brain cancer.
Oh, wow.
But they were both believers and loved the Lord, and my son believed in what was not seen but was to be seen.
That is, that's from pretty deep water, isn't it, Dolores?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
And
but
sometimes
I've been blessed, and I can praise God because he's been very good to me.
You know, sometimes those hard things like that can, to use a word, eclipse, you know, can eclipse the sun, S-O-N, not the S-U-N. But the troubles can
Correct.
Move past us, between us and him, and it seems like he's not there. You know, it seems like he's not accessible, and you can kind of get that's the enemy loves to get you in those places where you think he's not there anymore, right?
Exactly. So I just tell him, get out of my house and get out of my mind, because the blood of Jesus has covered me.
Yes. Aren't you glad for that? The blood of the Son who gave everything for you. Dolores, I'm delighted that you called in here today about the eclipse and we got to hear about your birthday. Are you going to celebrate it with anybody special on Monday?
Yeah, with two of my children and some of the grandchildren, and they take good care of me, and they certainly do love me.
Yeah. What flavor cake are you hoping for?
I like chocolate with white frosting. Lots of it.
Double portion for you. Dolores, God bless you. It's a real delight to talk with you. And enjoy the eclipse too. I wonder what the favorite cake for the eclipse event would be. We'd have to figure that out. Again, I'll tell you that for our friends in Cleveland, Karen says on Facebook, I'm going to my daughter's in Cleveland. I'm more interested in family time, but it will be exciting to see something that will never happen again in my lifetime. Karen, thank you for that. And if you're in the Cleveland area, or you can access it online, actually, if you go to moodyradio.org, you can hear the special that they're doing in Cleveland on the ground in the Path of Totality, right there with Brian and all his pals in Cleveland for Moody Radio Cleveland. You can do that. Just go to moodyradio.org or go to chrisfabrylive.org and you can do that as well. Hey, friend, thanks a lot for listening today, for coming alongside us, for giving us your feedback on Facebook. It would not have been the program that it has been without you. And if you go to that website, you can see how you can support us here at the Radio Backyard Fence. You can see how you can click that green CareNet button and come on back on Monday, whether you listen live here or the podcast on Monday. Great guest, good conversation for your heart and mine. Because as always, Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute, online at chrisfabrylive.org.